Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Author Eke. Today we have Donny J, and he is going to talk about his new books. Pleased to have him on the show. It's a weekend, so I'm glad he could take the time to show up on a Saturday and, I guess, you know, past cartoons and everything. So I'm glad you could show up. And Donny, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about your books.
Donny J. Grew up in South Central Pennsylvania. Went to a local Penn State branch campus here, and then graduated from York College of Pennsylvania. Became a police officer roughly 21 years ago.
And, oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly. So 17 of the last 21 have been as a detective. So everything from, we're general assignments, so everything kind of that comes in the door, whether it's homicide all the way to theft or child abuse, that type of thing.
Man, I don't know if I could do child abuse. I think if I caught them, I'd want to abuse them.
Yeah.
That's just me.
They're tough.
That's just me.
It's surprising the number of cases that do come in. But so yeah, like 2010 or so, I started writing basically faith-based spy thriller series. And I have two of those out so far. The manuscript for number three is done, but I'm just kind of holding that off. Put it on the back burner. In the meantime, I started a crime thriller series, also faith-based, and hoping to get that traditionally published here. So
excellent. So tell us about your books. I'm interested in the faith base. I think that's probably missing in the world today, and how it kind of relates to, you know, what you're, you know, what you deal with and what you put in your books.
Yeah. So obviously I'm a Christian, so, you know, writing
as I am.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. so writing from that worldview, it's like, it's who I am. So how can I not write from that worldview? And you know, just in a lot of the stuff, I read a lot of different things, whether it's nonfiction or fiction, but, thought in a lot of the fiction books, that's kind of the element that's sort of, that's like the, you know, the thing that's sort of missing from some of the dimension that's missing from some of these characters and stuff is, you know, their faith. So it's important to me. That's why I write with that. So my main character in my spy thriller series is Reagan Rainey. Has a background in special forces, and then does some work with the agency, the CIA. And then so the first book kind of starts out where he's sort of on temporary duty assignment to the CIA, and then the second book kind of gets into more where he's essentially CIA then.
Does his faith take him in the direction that he wants to go? Does he feel something, or how does his faith play into making the decisions? How's that play into your character?
I think it helps drive him, and in a sense too, where he feels like he's always in God's hand, no matter what happens. You know, special forces and obviously some, you know, operations with the agency, you can,
right,
there are things that are dangerous, and you know,
yeah, that's for sure.
so that sense where no matter if he's in harm's way, there's still someone looking out for him,
right?
And two, like if the worst would happen, he knows where he's going, so there's nothing. Certainly there's danger and the sense of, you know, loss with teammates and just friends and stuff like that. But I think part of it too is you'll see in the books is he relates that to his teammates and stuff, that he doesn't like shirk away from his faith. So
right.
So that's just central to who he is, and it kind of comes out in how he relates to his teammates and how he leads.
Can he, the folks that he's going after, that he encounters, does he feel like an evil spewing out of him, or is it just that he believes highly in his faith that he'll make the right judgment?
I think that's the case. Yeah. Certainly he has a job to do and mm-hmm. he has no qualms in doing the job, but, there's a sense throughout the books too, that it's a good versus evil type of thing.
Okay. So, do you have like folks that work under you in the police department? You're being a detective?
Sort of yes and no. I mean, I don't have anybody that I supervise, but there's young guys that, you know, patrol guys and stuff that come in and ask questions and kind of shut.
Do you leave the books out and say, hey, you know?
<There you go. laughs> Yeah, I try not to push the book stuff too much. No, I just.
But I mean, they got to be proud of you. And not only, I mean, it's not an 8-to-5 job, right? I mean, it's demanding and you're taking the time to write.
Yeah.
And write about things that some of them could have encountered or will encounter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. So when do you find time to write? I mean, holy cow, that's got to be something that's, you know, time is precious.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's pretty much like everybody else. You know, you find time to carve out mm-hmm. to write and it's difficult sometimes, but I've always told myself, you know, whether I have the time to write or not, I will not sacrifice the family for writing. So,
yep.
And you know, like everybody else, we'll find a way to make it work. So, and we do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a part-time job as a bus monitor on a special education bus.
Okay.
So, you know, we get a little break between, you know, elementary and junior high school. So I'll sit there and I'll write, I'll, you know, flip the computer out and type away, just hoping to put something down. And then later on, but, you know, in the break, do more because I try to get enough, you know, so many words a day to be able to get the book out. Even though there's no schedule that I'm on, I put it on myself, my onus to myself. I want the book done by a certain date to be able to, you know, get it out when I want to get it out. So. Yep. So you wrote your first couple and then mm-hmm. you went more into what you're writing now. Was there a reason for that and why'd you stop like in the middle and then start moving to the other genre? Almost?
Right. Well, the first two were independently published. So, I mean, my goal as a writer has always been to be traditionally published.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I on some good advice and just, you know, common sense would tell you mm-hmm. an agent's not going to pick you up halfway through a series. So that's why mm-hmm. I decided to kind of, to start another series and have it mm-hmm. be, I also, when I started writing, I also kind of thought, it'd be cool someday to write more of a police kind of, detective novel. Mm-hmm. So I kind of tucked that away in the back of my mind. And then here recently, a year or so ago, I started writing that one and that one's ready to go and just waiting on the right agent to come along.
Did it feel like it just kind of flowed out of you? There wasn't, you know, once you started writing, it was like, oh, okay. Like for example, I've written two books in a series, started writing the third, got about halfway. And then I decided to start writing a historical fiction of World War I. And that is just coming along very, very nicely. And then when that's done, then I'm going to take the other one up, the third, like halfway done, I got 40,000 words, just, you know, over halfway done almost. So I'll take that up and finish that one as this one's being, you know, edited or published or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's good to take a break from what you normally write and have your mind do something more creative space, right? I got an idea for a kid's book and, you know, all sorts of stuff, but I think sometimes it's good to take a break.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For sure, yeah. But yeah, to answer your question, it did sort of, you know, flow, if you will. There's so much that I can relate to this character,
the
character in this book. So he's without getting too much into details, because I don't really like to talk about, you know, details, especially if it's not out there yet. But
yeah,
so he's a detective in a unit at the Providence PD up in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, there's a lot of me in this guy and mm-hmm. certainly a lot of, what I do kind of mm-hmm. comes out through his interactions and stuff like that.
I think there's in books, there's a lot of, the author in it, whether it's subliminally or not. There's something in there about you, right? I mean, how couldn't there be?
Yeah, psychologically, there has to be. Yeah,
there's no way there couldn't be. How can you distance yourself from somebody that far? Maybe a bad actor or something, but, you know, the good guy, I mean, or girl, whatever you want to be, or whatever you are, is, you know, that's what I think you put yourself into that. So what's your family think of that? I mean, they got to think that's kind of cool, you know,
writing
a book.
Yeah, yep. Yep. I mean, if you ask my wife, sometimes when, you know, I seem like I'm off in outer space somewhere, when she's talking to me and I'm not, she knows I'm thinking about something story related or, but yeah, I'm sure.
Let him go. He'll be all right. He'll come back in a second.
Yeah. But I'm sure like you, you mentioned having your laptop, you know, handy all the time. Yeah. So I can't really have that, at work and stuff like that. Right. There's tons of times where I'll, you know, jot down a note and so I'll bring them home and I'll have notes. I have notes all over the place. It could be a scene or it just could be a character idea or just whatever. So the notes eventually end up into the story then.
Yeah. I've got a folder that probably has 5 or 6 book ideas that I've started and then pulled back from them because I just didn't. I have to kind of feel what I'm writing to make it like, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, I got to get this done and rushed or not feeling, you know, the book per se.
Yep.
So you're working. So tell us about your first two since those are already out. Are they still available?
They're still available. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep. So tell us kind of about the first two, folks who go out there, at least start reading what you have already written. And when you come out with your next one, it's published, even though it's a different storyline, they can tell you based on your writing.
Yeah. So the first one, it's called The Warrior Spy. It kind of intros Reagan Rainey and that type of thing. So what's happening is he's assigned to the CIA on like a temporary duty position. Mm-hmm. And what's happening at the CIA, there's some CIA officers that are mysteriously kind of being killed around the world. And so there's the kind of like the unit inside of the unit at CIA is where Reagan works. And so that unit is tasked with figuring out what's going on, what's happening, why are these officers being killed? And it kind of leads into a larger plot, where there's a plot to attack the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of like a more, there's kind of a couple parallel things going on. But there's a Russian involved. So then book two is called Artifacts of Conspiracy. And it kind of like, dovetails with book one a little bit. Reagan receives this letter at the beginning. Reagan receives this letter from persons unknown. All he identifies himself as is Moses. So it's like this mysterious letter that arrives at a case officer's car in Portugal, and under mysterious circumstances. And then the letter makes its way back to Langley, and then they. Essentially, so Reagan's dad worked for the CIA, and then when Reagan was like 11 years old, he was told that his father was killed on an operation or something like that overseas. Mm-hmm. So, in this letter that the agency receives, it teases that his dad's still alive.
Oh wow!
So then obviously there's this push to figure out whether it's true, what's the whole idea behind this letter.
Interesting. That's a good, I like that plot line. Now I'm kind of curious if he's alive.
Yep. So it's kind of, you know, it's a globetrotting type of spy thriller, and he has to go figure out who's behind it. Is his dad still alive or not? You know, that type of thing.
Oh, interesting. So what do you like to write? Like by yourself with music, kids running around, what do you find is best for your creativeness?
Yeah. generally speaking, I like to write in my little office. Sometimes I'll put classical music on. Other times, just kind of like, you know, instrumental background music kind of thing. Not to say that I can't write in a living room with some noise and stuff like that, but, you know, sometimes instead of sequestering myself away from the family, I'll sit in the living room and be there just typing away, whether it's just kind of writing other ideas,
right?
Later on editing some. But I grew up in a household with three boys, so
I was the youngest of three boys.
I was used to the noise, so I can tune it out when I need to. I mean, obviously, and listening to the police radio, you got to have one ear to the radio, and so you got to be able to, when I'm typing reports, I got to be able to, you know, tune that out to to some degree, but also pay attention as well. But so that's generally where I like to write.
Okay.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah, I like to write at home too. You know, sometimes I go see my daughters or my son. Then I, you know, take it with me. I try to write a little bit. Like airplane, I found out is, you know, if it's not like bumpy all over, you know, bumping all over the sky, then I can pretty well, you know, flying to DC where my son lives, I knock out, you know, 5-6 pages during that time of good stuff. So I try to do that because then I want to spend time with him, you know, and not, you know, deep in the book. That's for sure.
Right.
So you wrote your first two. You self-published, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're on Amazon Amazon or wherever else you get a book online.
Yep.
And now you want to go self-publishing. So what have you done to get your name out, or what have you done to be self-published? What has been your process? I mean, did you write an author letter and send in a synopsis and the first, you know, chapters or whatever? So what have you done that you could tell other people how to be able to, you know, do that process?
Are you talking about self-publishing or
about, you know, traditional?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Doing the query stuff right now. I probably have about 8 or 10 out. So I have one where it's someone requested the full manuscript.
Excellent.
So essentially from the very beginning, when I started even writing the first two, I started trying to, you know, make contact, it's like life. You just, you try to make friends and, you find the right people along the way that will help you. And you find other people that are, running parallel to you and, you help them and they help you. So I got to interact with, Ryan Steck, the Real Book Spy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll notice, he blurbed on my first two. There's a blurb from him on there. Another couple other guys, Andrews and Wilson, just an awesome tandem. I don't know how those guys write, you know, together, write books, but it works for them.
I don't know. Yeah. I've always figured, I heard like one will take one chapter, one will take another, one will take, I'm like,
and then they switch.
Yeah.
And then they switch.
Yeah.
but I don't know how they do it, but they do it awesome.
They do a good job, man.
Yeah. So I got to know those guys a little bit and some other people too. But just number one, it's like anything else. When you're trying to learn something, you look to the guys who do it well, look to the guys who are the best in their field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the approach I've taken, you know, try to learn from how the guys who write well, how they do it. So I've tried to model myself after guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like the traditional, trying to become traditionally published. So the querying thing is, each agent has their own set of submission guidelines. Some, want a query letter and that's it. Some want a query letter and like the first 5 pages of a manuscript. Some want the, like more than that. Some want just a synopsis. So each agent has their own submission guidelines, and so you kind of got to, you know, look at them and
play by their rules.
Exactly. Yeah. So
interesting. Interesting.
So yeah, that's where I'm at, and it's the waiting game, which obviously it's not fun, but that's part of paying your dues.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So what'd you make, what made you become a policeman? I don't get it. I don't get it, but you know. Yeah. So what made you become a policeman?
I think from an early age, I've just kind of always been interested in police work. And, you know, obviously as a kid, watched a lot of the police shows and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So when I went to college, I first majored in chemical engineering, and then I changed it to computer science. And then I played soccer in college. Mm-hmm. One of the kids on the soccer team, his major was criminal justice. And so I kind of got talking to him and realized that, hey, there's a major for that in college. And then I changed my major to criminal justice. And
well, your parents like, oh, you're killing me, all these credits.
Yeah. No, my parents, you know, they've always been supportive. But so then I got to intern with a local city police department. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, some of the ride-alongs and stuff, it felt right. So
right.
So then started applying different places and mm-hmm. and that's how I got in. Yep.
Then you went to a police academy or somewhere, they got your certification or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys have to do law, peace officer, I guess.
Yep.
A friend of mine, his son doing the same thing for City of Garland here in Texas. You had to go through the academy and you go through all the things and doing ride-alongs and everything. So then you were a policeman in a police car. Right, regular patrol, mm-hmm. and then you've moved up to being a detective.
Yes, yep.
So there's a test for that,
evidently. For our agency, there's not, but
okay. I
mean, different agencies have it different ways, but yeah.
All the crime shows I've seen, you go, oh, I'm studying for the sergeant exam, I'm studying for the detective.
Yeah, and, now, to do sergeant and lieutenant, whatever, that type of thing, there is a test for that, but... For detective, for our department, there's no test. It's more like an assignment kind of a thing. But we had to do like a 6 month, you know, trial probationary type thing, and then after that, became detective. Yeah,
interesting. Central Pennsylvania, beautiful country.
Yeah.
Are you around Hershey or Somerset or?
We're a little south of there. Yeah. So I'm about an hour and a half west of Philly and an hour north of Baltimore. So.
All right.
So yeah, we get all that highway, crisscross of, you know, drugs and stuff like that. And
so I'm
around York. Yeah. I'm around the York area. So York's a dangerous little city. So. So we get all the good stuff, but, we say, where I work, we're busy enough to keep us busy, but we have time enough to investigate things and.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So do you see yourself writing, you know, more and more or different genres? If you weren't writing what you're writing, what would you like to write?
I think I'd be writing the same thing.
Really? You feel comfortable in it?
Intelligence stuff, yeah. And then police detective stuff. So obviously that's what I've, this new series, what that is. And, you know, it's, I'm sure like you start writing one book and it gives you more ideas for.
Yes.
Not just characters, but other ideas for other books. And so I have like, you know, not every plot worked out, but I have about three other book ideas for this series. So as I wait to see how this querying stuff goes for book one, I've got book two underway. And so
interesting.
It's a little bit different than book two, but still the same main character and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm doing some research for the book I'm doing now. I'm reading a lot on World War One. I mean, just, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I mean, I've always read like World War II and Vietnam and stuff, but recently, last year or so, I've started getting into World War I, and it's so fascinating to read about that war. And I've read something, I'm like, I didn't know that. I mean, like, you know, some things you just, I don't know. And it's like, well, I don't know. But I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know that. So I'm saying, man, that would be a great book.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, how can I put just a snippet of something I read and create a book out of it?
Yeah.
And I think I got a little plan for it, but I mean, I even marked it in a book. I'm like, okay, I got to come back to this because this is something that did you do a lot of research for your books or because you inherently know, because you want things to, you know, to be, you know, even a fiction, semi-factual.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do the research, and I think the research is one of the more fun parts of,
oh, I love it,
of writing. You learn so much things, so many things that you don't know, mm-hmm. or things about places that you know, mm-hmm. you have, like, there's a ton of places that I would like to go to now, having done some of this research and stuff. But
one in Portugal, that's on my bucket list. I mean, Portugal, oh, yeah? is one of the places that's the place I want to visit.
Yeah,
that's definitely.
But yeah, like you sort of indicated, like the more you read, the more ideas that percolate, and whether it's just seeing how other guys write, mm-hmm. or the content, like it just sparks an idea of something else or an idea for a character or that type, mm-hmm. of thing. So yeah, it's like the writing and reading go hand in hand, and you know, you can't sacrifice the reading just because you're writing.
I tell people, if you're writing, you're learning.
Exactly.
It's when you think, well, I'm just writing something, but no, you're writing something because you just learned something that you didn't know, and now you're putting it into your own words, or you saw something you read, now you want to write about it.
Right.
So you never think about that. I take walks in the morning, and I do little TikTok, short 30-second, like, walking author type thing, right? Or marketing a book. That's a whole, man, oh, man, that's a whole other thing, right?
Yeah.
but I said, man, when you're writing, you're learning. And then what you write, people are learning. So it makes them maybe want to, you know, read more. But, you know, now you said Portugal, they're like, okay, I've always wanted to go to Portugal.
Right.
That's on my bucket list. So now when somebody reads your book, I've been there, or I want to go there, like, you know, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That there's a church there. That's a street. There's a cafe. You know what? You've been there, or you can sit there and think about, I'm in the book.
Yeah. And that's what's neat sometimes, you know, getting an email from somebody that's in Sweden or, you know, Norway, or there's other places that I've gotten emails from people, and it's like, wow, that's cool. Like, this person on the other side of the world is emailing about the book or just has questions or that type of thing. But yeah, that's neat to, you know, interact with people from other places.
So where can everybody get a hold of you? Where can they contact you? I know I reached out to you on X. So where can everybody, get a hold of you and learn more about you?
Yeah. DonnyJBooks.com is my website. DonnyJBooks.com. That's the easiest place as a starting point.
Okay.
But I'm on Facebook and X and Instagram and other places too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, certainly. And I like interacting with people, whether it's on social media or email, or so don't hesitate to reach out, and whether it's just to say hi or talk about books or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's a good community of writing. Writers are a good community.
Exactly.
Very yep. different than I'd ever would have thought of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. So Donnie, I want to thank you for, you know, what you do for the community, what, you know, you devoted your life to, your faith, and then helping your fellow man, because there's some folks that need some help. Some are past it, but some could use a little kick in the rear sometimes, to say the least. Well, thanks, Donnie, and I appreciate it. And you have a Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you very soon, and good luck on your books. We want to know when those books are going to get published.
All right. I'll be sure to let you know.
I'll have you back on.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.